The title of my message this afternoon, brethren, is entitled Love and Service. To begin with, we should understand that our loving God and loving Savior know each one of us very clearly, brethren, and sometimes we forget, I guess, but we can also understand they are service-oriented. We also understand that the service they do continually involves love toward others. And, of course, we understand that God and Jesus Christ are love, Everything they do for us, whatever they allow, is based on their love for people. We can also understand that if we have received God's Holy Spirit, we are considered to be God's children. We can be comforted to know that we are God's children now. If you'll turn to 1 John 3:1, or I can read it right here, of course. We know it quite well, I'm sure. 1 John 3:1 says, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him." Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Verse 3, "And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure." Brethren, can we understand that we shall become like Jesus Christ? Can we really recognize that? And I'm sure that we can, but we're going to emphasize it a little more during this message today. As children of God our Father, we are given expectations in how to live. Most of us understand that as we are living our lives, God teaches us and directs us how to accomplish his expectations. He does this through prayer, Bible study, meditation, and instruction during the messages we receive in Sabbath services, and of course, the observance of all the feast days and our prayer life and all that. We understand that we cannot earn our salvation. It's a loving gift from God, These expectations are continual throughout our lives. We have these expectations from God. We do not acquire them all at once. So let's quickly review how God helps us to accomplish his expectations of how to live according to his will. And let me state 4 points right now. Let me get some water. My throat is a little scratchy. Excuse me. Number one, after we are baptized and receive God's Holy Spirit, we are then justified. We're justified by God to be his children, and thus we then enter the second stage of our salvation journey, which is called sanctification. So the first thing that happens, we're baptized, hands are laid on us, and from there we enter the second stage of our salvation journey, and that is called sanctification. And of course, we understand that sanctification means that we are set apart. God sets us apart to live holy lives. He expects us to live holy lives. And that obviously means that we have received his Holy Spirit to give us that understanding and to help us, because hands have been laid on us and we have received his Holy Spirit. And we are guided and we receive the guidance of God our Father through his Son, Jesus Christ, who is the head of his church. So we are to be different. We're to be different, brethren, or set apart or separate from the world's way of living. Now, in 1 Peter 1:15, it says, quote, "But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct." Verse 16, "Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy." We are to live lives that are different from this world and strive to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as mentioned in 2 Peter 3:21. And that's the last verse in that particular part of the of 2 Peter. But he says right there, he says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." In other words, we're not to stand still. There has to be some growth in us, brethren, continual. No matter our age, no matter how young we are, there has to be growth. We are also to keep our minds focused daily on the coming kingdom of God and the return of Jesus Christ. This would include, of course, how we live our lives each day. How we live our lives each day. Jesus Christ tells us what to do. He tells us what to do. He tells us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, as stated in Matthew 6:33. That's a famous verse. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. As God's children, we're expected to walk spiritually with God. We have his Holy Spirit, and he's given it to us. It has been a gift, and we need to utilize it in our daily living. Whatever we do, we should be thinking continually, we have God's Holy Spirit, praying, of course, thinking of him, asking for his guidance and direction daily, because we have his Spirit. God hears us, and that should be on our minds continually, brethren. In Matthew 24:42-44, it says, Watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, and we know that Jesus is saying these words. He says, "But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into." Verse 44, "Therefore, you also be ready. Be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Now, we're living in a troubled world. We all know that. Everywhere we go, it just seems that way, what's happening all over this world now. The newspapers are carrying it on. The news are carrying it on everywhere, that something is not right with this world now. And it seems, and it's not too difficult to understand, that something is going to explode sooner or later. And that doesn't mean that Christ will come then, but it does indicate that times are wasting and time is getting shorter and shorter and shorter for the tribulation. And we know that the tribulation will take 3 years, and 2 years of it will involve Satan, and then the last year will involve God and Jesus Christ. But let's go on. We are also to keep our minds focused daily on the coming kingdom of God and the return of Jesus Christ. This would include, of course, how we live our lives each day. Now, we hear this continually, how we should live our lives each day. Jesus Christ tells us what to do. He tells us, we know that, "Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness," as stated in Matthew 6:33. 6:33. Matthew 6:33. As God's children, we're expected to walk spiritually with God. Now, we come to the service the Sabbath day, and we certainly need the Sabbath day. Doesn't matter how long we've been in God's church, but the Sabbath day is a crucial day for all of us, and it should be a day to get uplifted, a day to remind us, a day to worship God and Jesus Christ together at that same time. And we're to walk spiritually with God, and He's given us His Holy Spirit to do that. He just doesn't say, oh, come on in, throws us in, and that's about it. But we need to utilize God's Holy Spirit in our daily living. And it's one thing, brethren, to have received God's Holy Spirit, and it's another thing to use God's Holy Spirit. And whatever we do, even when we get up, when we get up and we're going to have our daily prayer, God's Holy Spirit will be with us. We can pray. We can talk to Him. We can recognize it, that He hears us because we have His Spirit, and we can connect with Him. That's very, very important. In Matthew 24:42-44, it says, watch. We're to watch. Therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. Verse 43, but know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. And so who is saying those words? Jesus Christ is saying those words. And so let's move on. It says, the foundation of these expectations that Jesus Christ states regarding being a faithful servant is to love God our Father, love Jesus Christ our Savior and High Priest in our lives, and to love our neighbor as ourselves, which indicates to love one another, brethren. There has to be a love among ourselves, of course, as people in God's church. How we live must focus on the spiritual responsibilities that we have in serving and obeying our loving God, which is mentioned by Jesus Christ in Matthew 22:37-40, and includes loving God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our minds. Now, we know that this is the first and great commandment. This is the first and great commandment. And then the second great commandment is loving our neighbor as ourselves. In other words, loving other people as ourselves. We are to think of others as we think of ourselves. That's a complicated comment, because often we are in touch with other people wherever we go. Go to the grocery store, we get our food, we go up to the counter, and there's the counter people, and they look at us and they start punching out whatever they have to do. But our thoughts should be okay. Fine, but not in an anger way, but in a recognition. This person doesn't know God yet, but there should be a love within our minds about whoever we come in contact with. They don't need to know that, but we know that. There should be a love toward others, a continual love. And it's not an easy thing to do, of course, but it's a matter of fact that God gives us that love as we live our days day by day. So let's move on then with a message. And it says, we serve through the love of God that has been given to us through His Holy Spirit, which is in us. And again, as I mentioned before, we must utilize God's Holy Spirit, which is in our minds, in our prayers. Do we mention God's Holy Spirit in us? Do we talk to Him, explain to Him? Whatever is coming out of our thoughts, whatever is coming out of our minds, God's Holy Spirit in us, and we're talking to Him and explaining to Him, Father, You've given us Your Holy Spirit. You've given me Your Holy Spirit, and I want to learn from You. Teach me, guide me, help me. And God is listening. Christ is listening, and there's that bond that we understand, and He'll give that to us continually. So we've received the gift of love and should apply it to others through service. Through service. We can understand that loving parents will be loving and serving their children in many ways. And in return, children will also be loving and serving their parents by helping out at home, helping out with any younger children. Now, I come from a large family. I don't think anyone here beats me, but I came from a large family. I think I've mentioned this before. I had 6 sisters and 4 brothers, and we were pretty close together in ages. Did anyone beat me with that? See, I'm still winning. Okay. 6 sisters, and wow, as I think about it. Anyway, we grew up somehow. I can't say we were perfect in loving one another, but we survived. We survived. But we had a loving father, dad, and our loving mother. Now, of course, we understand that the older children helped around the house in different ways. We can also think of that as serving one another. And the boys had a big yard. The boys had to do the outside, and the girls had to do the inside. Of course, the girls, the boys had to do whatever they had to do, the weeds and everything else, and the girls just had to, you know, do the easy things. Excuse me, I shouldn't say that. I know. I knew that's what you'd say. But anyway, but nevertheless, we survived those years, you know, 10 children. And anyway, that happens when we have a large family. But can you imagine? Here we have a large family right here, and we all are here for one purpose. By the way, thank you. You're listening as I talk. You know, is that we have a large family here, and we must recognize that within us, right here, we are God's children, and there's love to be poured out between us. So let's look at 1 Peter 4:10 through 11. There it says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. That's a powerful, powerful scripture there in 1 Peter 4:10 through 11. So, brethren, let's go back to Matthew 24 again. Some of us know it by heart, but it mentions here where Jesus is talking about the faithful servant and the evil servant. Let's read together the passage regarding the faithful and wise servant. We will see very easily what is expected regarding being a faithful and a wise servant. In Matthew 24, verses 45 through 47, it says, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. So when his master comes, he'll see that he's still working. I will say to you that excuse me, that doesn't happen very often. I got a little pill here for that. Mm. when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. Ruler over all his goods. The faithful servant is consistent, responsible, loyal, and shows those qualities of a faithful servant who does what his master expects. He believes in what his master directed him to do while his master went away on a trip. We should ask ourselves continually the question whether we are faithful servants. If we need to improve, which we all probably do, then let's all do that. We have the Sabbath services. God expects us to learn every Sabbath. We haven't learned everything. There's a lot to learn. Every Sabbath, we can't just say, oh, I know it all. Why am I here today? No, every Sabbath time that we come here, there's something we're going to learn from one another or from whoever is speaking. So if we need to improve, which we all probably do, then let's all do it. Let's all do it. Jesus is explaining we must be consistent. That's a key word, being consistent, not being up and down, but being consistent, being faithful, being loyal. For people see you regularly, not once every couple months or so, or whatever it is, but being consistent in our service to others by expressing our love towards them. We all will be held accountable when Jesus returns to set up his kingdom. And then what is mentioned next is the evil servant, called the evil servant, Matthew 24, 48 through 51. But then here I'll read it just as it comes out. It says, but if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and to drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him and at an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that is strong, very strong, brethren. The evil servant is described as evil and includes his thoughts regarding the importance of being a servant. It's obvious that this servant doesn't care at all about serving his master. He thinks that he's not responsible for what he has required to be given directions to do. He's obviously refusing to do the assigned work as a servant to his master. He's not loyal and obedient to the master. He doesn't care for the needs of others. He lacks respect for those in need. He obviously does not believe seriously what he has been directed to do as a servant. And we can read the words. I know the word servant is in there, but we can understand what that means. But here's what is very important. He says he does not care. He doesn't care about how he is to live his life. That is so sad. He doesn't care about how he serves. He is filled with that key word, apathy. He will be punished, of course, severely unless he repents. But God's way of life isn't to be harsh with us. God is love. He gives us love. But occasionally, if we're not, conducting ourselves the way we should, then maybe something will happen to us. And I'm not here to go into all of that, but I'm just trying to compare the good servant and the evil servant. Acts 20:35, it mentions here the Apostle Paul gives some very important comments. Acts 20, verse 35, it says, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that we must support the weak. Support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Let's notice that Paul states we must support the weak. He does not say that we should support the weak. He states that we must support the weak. And William Barclay in his commentary says that the term bondservant is used many times in the Bible. Many times in the Bible. And that's a key word, because the apostles were bond servants. The apostle Peter called himself a bond servant. Paul did too. James and Jude, they all said when they began their particular book, you know, they mentioned their name, a bond servant. And a bond servant was expected to be a servant for life. And that's where we should be. We are should be bond servants to Jesus Christ and to God our Father. These men began their letters by declaring that they were bond servants of Jesus Christ for life. And that should be, of course, our desire continually to serve Jesus Christ, which also implies that we are to serve God our Father also. They stated something like this: I love you and do not want to ever leave you. I belong to you. I want to serve you all my life. And that's our expression, our thoughts. And as we pray, we're praying to God. We're praying to God. We're bringing out the words love to him and to Jesus Christ. I want to do what you want me to do. And so what about us, brethren? Can we consider that we are actually bond servants of Jesus Christ for life, for life? And 2 Peter 1:1, Simon Peter just says it right there. Peter, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. And then he goes on. And then the example of Jesus Christ in Philippians 2:5-7. And this is powerful. We know this one, of course. It says, let this mind be in you, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider himself equal with God, and it's something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Jesus himself was a bondservant to God the Father. And we should also be following his example. John 15:12 says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And so here's where the word love comes in. The word love is there. It's always there. And then, of course, we need to remember that serving one another implies that we love one another. And so now, when I entitled this, it's called Love and Service. We'll go a little further as we are heading toward the end of this particular sermon. It says, remember, brethren, serving one another implies that we love one another. We understand that our loving God wants us to involve him and Jesus Christ in building a close relationship with them. And I think we can recognize that we should not leave God and Christ out of our daily living. That should go without saying. It shouldn't just be every other day that we pray, or every other day that we read our Bibles, or maybe every third day or something like that. It's a daily type of thing. Start our day with prayer. Yes, we have to get up early. I agree with you. I had schools to run, and I got up early, and I guess, and I'm still getting up early. But nevertheless, it's a matter of fact that we start our day. Don't you think God looks at us when the first thing we do is we pray? He doesn't say that we have to pray for an hour, but we're praying to start that day, to give us that strength, to give us that power, to give us the opportunity to live our lives the way he wants us to. Jesus Christ lives in us through God's Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ lives in us through God's Holy Spirit. Loving service to others That brethren can apply in many ways is certainly something that would be approved by our loving brother Jesus Christ. So now I have a list of a few ways that perhaps we might not think about. These examples certainly can apply to me, brethren, and hopefully to all of us. And so I'll just read them very quickly, and I think you'll agree with me. I hope you will. And it's just a few things that will apply. Respecting one another. I'm talking about serving. Respecting one another, serving our husbands and wives and children, treating all people with courtesy, smiling, friendliness, uses of words that are uplifting, getting involved in the many activities that occur in our congregation, acknowledging one another in our services, learning the names of one another, being supportive of the vision and mission of the United Church of God, which would include praying for others, and then praying for the success of the Beyond Today program. And of course, praying for the sick, and praying for our pastor and his wife, and the elders and their wives, and deacons and deaconesses. And serving in the church choir is also an excellent way of providing service to others. You thought I'd forget that one, didn't you? I know, it's still there, still there. Please realize that I believe UCG Garden Grove is a loving church congregation. I know I'm kidding around here occasionally, but I could cite names of many people who have served graciously through the years in several ways. Many, many people have passed through our doors filled with love for one another. We must never forget whoever we are. Every one of us that come through those doors, love should be very, very clear that we love one another. We don't have to tell each other, oh, I love you, and all that type of thing. It's in our minds how we treat one another, how we think of others. We must never forget that praying for others is an important form of godly service. We can be sure that our loving God and our beloved Savior, Jesus Christ, certainly are pleased with love and service toward others, and that it's displayed by their people. Let's remember to focus on how we can better serve our congregation. And, you know, if you have children, just talk to them. How can we ask them questions? How can we serve people in our church a little better? They'll tell you a few things that perhaps you know, but it's good to hear from them so they can understand these other ways that they can help in the congregation. And then how we can develop our Christ-like service of love for others. And then also to not forget that we are all God's people, and that prayer for one another is a very important key to godly love and godly service.